Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. I am Davis Manick, joined today by Eric Beimfor of Spike Week. It is the 4th of July, but of course, Eric and I are big nerds, and all we care about is fantasy football anyway, so we figured we'd do a little bit of chatter here. And, you know, normally I figure it's, like, nice to start this show with, a little bit of news and notes. You know, what do we have going on around the league? There's literally nothing. We have not gotten a good news blurb out of any NFL team. I don't even – what was the last good news blurb? Right now, the headlines on RotoWorld are a bookies.com article about Julio Jones and Robert Griffin III saying he's training every day and willing to return to the NFL. That's where we're at right now at this stage of the offseason.
That is so funny that you mentioned that, because that's exactly how I felt this morning. I, like you said, I'm a huge nerd and got up and was looking through some of my best ball teams and stuff, because I might draft, it's 4th of July. I might pop in a couple drafts
Sure.
And I'm looking through, you know, some of my nerdy best ball stuff. And I'm like, let's go look at RotoWorld and see what's going on. And the latest thing, like you said, is a dude, and it's such a clickbaity title too, that's like, the Packers are the odds on favorite to get Julio Jones. And I was like, oh shit, like, you know, I'm actually kind of taking a stand against Julio. And I'm like, well, that's not good for me. And I click into it, and it's an interview with a dude from, I never even heard of bookies.com before, but it's
never
a,
I
don't even know who this guy is. It's literally useless news. It's like you or I saying, I think the Packers are the favorite to get Julio Jones.
That is what the Packers beat writers have been saying this whole time. But I think that's bullshit. I think he's signing with the Buccaneers. I just think it's much more of a Buccaneers fit than a Packers fit. The Buccaneers, this whole Brady era, has been bringing in guys who used to be good. They bring in Gronk, they bring in Giovanni Bernard, they bring in LeSean McCoy, they bring in Rashad Perryman, like all these guys who are close to out of the league, signing their very last contract, and they come in with the understanding that they're just going to be role players, right? Like whatever veteran signs with the Buccaneers knows that they're not jumping ahead. I mean, Fournette is actually another example of this, guy who was highly touted, disappointed in and most recent years got cut. So just feels like a Buccaneer sign, and that's the way I've been drafting him. I'm not taking a huge stand because I prefer Fuller in terms of like a wide receiver who is dead right now and
literally
is gonna,
like,
rise.
Actually might be dead, and
we would know. Will Fuller could literally be like, you know, living in South America opening like a spa resort or something, and we just wouldn't know. I mean, Will Fuller could be doing anything and we would have no idea.
Amputated that hand. The last thing he posted was like an IG picture of his hand or whatever, you know, having had a follow-up surgery, which looked gnarly, by the way. And that's that's the last thing we've seen was, like, I don't know, is like, maybe they had to like drop, you know, they went JPP on his hand because he messed it up so bad. Like, we just have absolutely no idea. But the Julio thing, I was just going to say, the Bucks, it's kind of like if Antonio Brown wasn't a total psychopath. Like, that's what the Julio Jones signing is for the Bucks. Like, this older guy, he's nearing the end.
I forgot Antonio Brown. Yeah, just another example.
But he can play, right? But he can play. Like, Gio is dust, right? LeSean McCoy was dust, whatever. But Brady trusted him. Whereas Julio is like, Julio and AB are these, like, guys that can still play even at their older age.
Well, the Julio one makes even more sense because by the time he's activated his hamstring injury, Chris Godwin should be back, right? So Julio Jones plays the first month of the season, injures his hamstring, and then instead of relying on the Scotty Miller, Tyler Johnson, Rashad Perryman group of guys, then you have Chris Godwin coming back from his ACL injury. So it just makes a ton of sense. And I think it makes more sense because you would have to imagine the Packers are just planning on playing some all-time boring football this season.
Oh, yeah.
Like
100%. Look at who they've signed. It's all boring dudes.
All boring old dudes. Like, they have Tonyan back, so they're going to play. They're going to be, honestly, I think they're going to probably play a ton of 12 with Josiah DeGarrett in there, and they're just going to be running the ball. And no one wants to hear this, but Randall Cobb truly has a chance to lead this team in targets. Now, he might just be done. Like, it might even be their plan to have Cobb be their primary slot guy, and then they get to the season and Cobb is banged up or just, you know, can't get open or whatever, and they'll have to change things in season. But I do kind of wonder if that is their plan right now.
And he's part of the reason that I've always thought the Julio to people are putting Julio on the Packers because A, the beats are like hoping for it mostly. So we're getting reports yes. about that. And B, people don't like respect all the receivers that they have. So they're just like, oh, it's got to be Julio. But that's not really to me how it has looked from the outside. So not a huge deal, but like they did spend a little bit of draft capital on Amari Rodgers last year. And now him and
Dude,
Cobb
he was a third round pick.
I know. So it's like if he was a third round pick this year, he would be going like pretty high in drafts, but he was a third round pick last year and didn't play. So like he literally
not only did he not play, but they were like calling guys up off the practice squad to play over him because they were so not like I think he probably is not going to make it, but I don't know. I mean, guys, you know, so this used to be the thing, a wide receiver, rookie wide receivers used to not play, especially like non-first round pick wide receivers. Like it used to be, we waited for the third year for wide receivers to break out. That like 10 years ago in fantasy football, that was like a meme, was like the third year wide receiver breakout. And now it's like guys are out of the league by their third, like Jalen Reagor's entering into his third season. And we're like, that guy's done. He's done. Yeah. We'll never see Jalen Reagor again.
I hadn't even thought about it that way, but somebody we're going to get to later falls into that very polarizing third year wide receiver conversation. But just to put a bow on the Packers thing, it's like they brought in so many bodies and a lot of them are young, cost controlled, you know, rookie contract picks like Amari Rodgers. Christian Watson obviously is the most recent one. They still have Alan Lazard is obviously not going. He's the like only like locked in guy that's going to play on this team. Randall Cobb,
Sammy.
We'll get to that. Sammy is a guy that one of these perfect veteran examples. Like they brought this dude in.
Sammy Watkins to me is 100% better than Julio Jones at this stage of their careers. I think.
I really don't have a strong take.
Since the theme of the show is we're going to be guessing things. Let's just guess right now. I don't know the answer to this. How old do we think Sammy Watkins is?
Oh shit, that's a great question.
I'm going to guess he is 28 and going to turn 29 in season. I don't remember when his birthday is.
I was going to say 29 and my theme was he's younger than we think he is. Okay. Than like the average person would think he is.
He just turned 24 4 weeks ago.
Did he come in the league at 16?
His birthday is June 14th. He's actually a year younger than me because he was born in 93. So he is June 14th. So he is age 29. That would make him 4 years younger than Julio. Will Fuller is 28. So him and Fuller are kind of the same type deal. I wonder if the Packers veteran wide receiver is just already on their roster and all these beats are just kind of like they're looking like they're like, oh, they're going to add Julio. They're going to add Fuller. They're going to add Odell. And that guy's already on the roster.
And that's what I whether it's Sammy, whether it's one of these, right? Our good buddy Ben Gretsch is on Romeo Dubs and other people are on Romeo
Dubs.
I've
been taking Dubs just because of Gretsch. Yeah.
Yeah. But one of the guy who does really amazing work for me at Spike Week is actually really on your boy Randall Cobb. And I was just
Cobb is not my, I draft all these guys. Honestly, I think Watkins, Dubs, Cobb, Amari Rodgers, it has to be pretty thin to draft him. But I think all those guys are really good. Like Dubs, Cobb, Rodgers are all pretty good 18th round selections because if the Packers, like, you know, if Aaron Jones gets injured, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if Aaron Jones or AJ, honestly, either of them, if AJ Dillon or Aaron Jones gets hurt, they're going to have to change their offense. The Packers have to have the most pass catchers with an ADP. They have 7 pass catchers with an ADP if you include Tonyan. Like that's got to be the most of any team, right?
And some of these guys like there is a 100% a scenario where Amari Rodgers is the starting slot receiver for this team and like is a valuable fantasy asset. I'm not saying he's like going to set the world on fire, but like there are scenarios where it's like Dubs, Lazard, and Rodgers as the three wide receiver set. But then there's also scenarios where it's like Watkins, Lazard, and Randall Cobb, right? Or I mean, I guess technically Julio is in the range of outcomes. Like, there, it's just so uncertain. But I think anyway, the whole point kind of was they have so many dudes and they already brought in some of these veterans. I mean, Aaron handpicked Cobb last year. The reason why Amari Rodgers
they traded for him.
He forced them to trade for his buddy, basically, because he didn't trust any of these guys.
This is like Kyrie and Kevin Durant saying, not only do you have to give DeAndre Jordan a bunch of money, but you have to start him over Jared Allen. And then if you don't do it, the coach gets fired.
And then Jared Allen is a max contract player, and DeAndre Jordan was like analytically the worst NBA basketball player in the league last year. But long story short, that's kind of why I think that other landing spots for Julio make a little bit more sense. But to the theme of what we were going to talk about, I do agree with the general consensus of like Julio is probably going to rise wherever he goes. And I also think we don't have to talk about necessarily these Packers, but they're like maybe the biggest example where whatever reports we get, right? The first training camp report, and it says Sammy Watkins, Alan Lazard, and Randall Cobb are running with the ones. All those guys.
That's what the there is an athletic article, and it's what's the name of their head coach?
LaFleur.
So he's saying we're excited about Randall, or this is Rodgers. Quote, excited about Randall. We played a lot of football together. Excited about Sammy. Excited about Alan Lazard. He's been our dirty work guy for most of his career here. Now he's getting opportunity to be a number one wide receiver. So I'm not at all worried about him stepping in that role. Nothing on Watson. Nothing on Dubes. Nothing on Rodgers. Which is honestly, that's what you would probably expect. Is you would expect those three, the veteran guys, to get the first crack. And then I would guess Watson is probably pushing Sammy. And Dubs and Rodgers are pushing Cobb, but no guarantee that any of those young guys went, especially knowing how Rodgers feels about rookie and young wide receivers. Like, guy, Devontae Adams wasn't good until year three and really wasn't a star until year four. He had a good year three, but I think he was like a seventh round pick in seventh round ADP when he was heading into year four. Like, it took until year four for him to be like, you know, capital A Devontae Adams.
It was actually year five, interestingly enough. He didn't have 1,000 yards till year five, but 111 catches, 1,400 yards and 13 touchdowns in year five. Now in year three and four, he was really good. He caught a lot of touchdowns, but he wasn't like Devontae Adams as we know him today. I also just think it's funny, the Packers, when you read that article, it's like, if you put the Packers receivers like in your spreadsheet or whatever, and you had an age column in there and you just said, what's the easiest way to predict?
Perfect correlation between age and targets, sort by age,
you know, highest to lowest, and pick those guys at the top, whoever's the oldest, because those guys are probably going to start, because that's just how Aaron Rodgers rolls. I do think it's interesting because those will be the guys, again, to the theme of today, that I think rise the most, and then your Watsons and stuff fall. But the guy who it kind of makes me the most interested in is like Robert Tonyan. Those other guys are not target earners. I know everybody's infatuated with the running backs, and I like them too. But like, if there's no one on the offense that can earn targets, Tonyan was just a touchdown scorer. So A, we know he can score touchdowns, but now what happens if he can earn a few more targets? Cause it's not Devontae Adams out there, you know, stealing targets. It's Sammy Watkins and Randall Cobb.
Yeah, you're right. Okay. So quick exercise today. We're not going to be a super long show. We both got lives to live here on America's birthday. But the quick idea, so we're going to run through some of the controversial, or I just think guys who have lots of room to move an average draft position. We'll probably do like 10, 15 guys, and we are going to predict their closing ADP in Best Ball Mania 3. So, you know, September 1st, August 30th, ADP in Best Ball Mania 3. And I think one of the most interesting guys to start with is Mark Andrews, because he was a guy who was going, we've already seen huge movement in his average draft position, right? So he was, when it first opened, when we were back in May, him and Kelsey were actually pretty close together. We saw, I want to say Andrews started at around 14, 15 in average draft position. He's moved back to 18, 19. And I was having this conversation with Kyle Dvorak from NBC Sports Edge last week, and he was making a pretty valid point to me, which was the Ravens threw the shit out of the ball last year. In the five games that Josh, I went to go look this up, the five games that Huntley and Josh Johnson started, this is crazy. They accounted for approximately 40% of the Ravens' total passing attempts. It was the only time in the Lamar Jackson era that the team had thrown more than 500 passes. And to make it even more dramatic, Lamar does not have a season in his career with more than 396 passing attempts, right? That's nuts. That is so low. That is unbelievable. And it's really easy to see why. The first is Lamar is super efficient throwing the ball. So, and he has a really high yards per attempt. And obviously a lot of the negative plays, like, you know, when Stafford is chucking it down to Daryl Henderson or Mahomes is dumping it off to Clyde Richard, like Lamar just goes and gets 4 yards himself, which is good for real football, but not great for fantasy football. They get J.K. Dobbins back. They're getting Gus Edwards back. Their defense is hopefully not going to be the insane abomination of injuries that it was last year. Closing ADP for Mark Andrews, your guess.
Oh my gosh. So he's sitting at 18.6 right now. And I was also just looking and I have literally not drafted him yet. Basically, I don't really have anything to add.
I've got him right in the market. I've got him like 9.5%.
And it's not even like it has nothing to do with him. It's just when this guy that has everything that you just outlined, like I can't think of a more perfect kind of like volume regression candidate than like that we've seen in forever. And which can be okay. There are probably some volume regression candidates that Debo maybe is one that
Debo is like the all time. Like he could just be the worst second round fantasy football pick without injury that we've seen in a long time.
And I think if Mark Andrews weren't a tight end, I would put him in that bucket too, because of exactly like what you just said, like the circumstances, same thing for Debo, the circumstances in which they earned all this volume and kind of all the touchdowns and everything like that are like so not repeatable. It's not even funny, whether it's just Lamar being back there, like, right. Like you said that just Lamar, you know, Huntley is a good runner. He's not Lamar Jackson. We've never seen Lamar Jackson in the history.
I mean, Huntley was throwing like 40 times a game. I would guess
A terrible passer. He's like not, he couldn't throw in college. He wasn't a good passer in college. It's just that he fits their scheme. And then they just had nobody else. He was not a fit with Hollywood. He can't really throw outside the numbers. And so it was just, the defense was the biggest thing. I think even more than those pass attempts, the pass attempts were largely, you know, a benefactor of the defense. The Ravens are going to have a good defense and we should project them to have a good defense. Of course, that's variant year to year, but literally their whole secondary got hurt. They were trotting out like XFL corners, dude, and playing like the Bengals.
It was really
and stuff.
Bad.
So they're just getting destroyed on defense. You know, Joe Burrow's throwing for 500 yards against them because they have XFL dudes covering Jamar Chase and T. Higgins, which in turn just means now, like you said, Tyler Huntley has to throw 40 times. He couldn't throw it to anybody else besides Mark Andrews. So anyway, I haven't really been taking him. And I think he's one of the guys that it just hasn't been a sexy name to talk about, right? Everybody, we'll definitely get to some of the sexy names that people have been talking about this offseason. But I think like people just dropped him in somewhere. That makes sense. That kind of makes sense because he was so good last year. I think he's very clearly going to fall. I just don't see a way in which like there's running backs probably around him that rise up. Some kind of wide receiver pops up. Like, I don't know, you know, that maybe the Chargers guys keep rising. I don't know, but I just feel like he's definitely a falling candidate. And what I was going to classify it as is like, where does Kyle Pitts kind of settle in? Cause I don't think he'll ever get, you know, super close to Kyle Pitts. But like if Kyle Pitts is going to pick 32 right now and Mark Andrews is at pick 18, I think that gap just closes a little bit.
Maybe 24. I think they might flip. I think if we get, you know, Kyle Pitts catches a touchdown in the preseason from Mariota and Drake London looks good. And because there's all these shitty teams in the preseason, it's really easy to talk yourself like every team. Right. Like all the Jaguars, they're looking kind of good. Oh, Davis Mills, you know, developing year two. Like it's and then you get into the season, you're like the Lions are the perfect example of this, where like kind of a bunch of people who really grind the edges of the NFL are like, you know, they could be really good. Goff has been good as a distributor, Jameson Williams, DJ Shark, Hawk is healthy, you know, and then you know, we might get to week six and the Lions like might just be a dumpster fire, right?
A fucking Jared Goff offense with a coach that drinks like 17 cups of coffee and puts his hand in the dirt when he wakes up every morning.
Yeah. So I think that is, I'm not going to say like, there's a lot of room to make up right now. Kyle Pitts goes 31 and Mark Andrews goes 18, But that way, it would not surprise me if we see that gap really start to close. Okay.
Like 24, 25 or something like that, I guess I would say.
Something like that. Okay. This has been only trending in one direction. Ezekiel Elliott, running back 17, ADP of 38.4. My guess is, you know, we get a little bit of him here in the preseason. We get a little more best shape of his life type stuff. Oh, we're going to use him as a receiver, yada, yada. You know, he's clearly our number one guy. And there's, I think there's a lot of room specifically for running backs to move up because the guys who go ahead of him, ETN, casual drafters are not going to be like, you know, when we get a little bit more casual money in the rooms, ETN is going to come back down after being a big summer riser. And then Kamara, when this inevitable suspension comes, he is going to drop probably not as much as you'd think, probably about two rounds, I think, just because he's Alvin Kamara and he's so good when he's in. And then again, Javonte Williams, I think you and I both love him, but I mean, he is in a 50-50 timeshare with Melvin Gordon, right? Like, let's just be real about it. So I think, and the market is pretty much assuming Jacoby Brissett is the starting quarterback for the Browns, but I do wonder if and when an inevitable suspension comes down, if Chubb moves down a couple spots as well. So I just think there's lots of room for Zeke to go up.
Yeah. And he's the typical, I don't want to say casual drafter because it's, you know, there's sharp people that are interested in Zeke too. But if you're into kind of that archetype of a running back, right? He's on a good offense. I can project him for a lot of touches. You know, he's been good in his career. Those are the guys that people love to draft in the third round or whatever. And he goes outside of the third round right now. Those people come in August and September and just smash that Zeke button. Because like you said, he's in this weird range where it's like, I don't know, nobody wants to really draft Cam Akers. ETN is definitely not that style of a player. And even like James Conner, like I know people similar type drafters like that, but like, if you just compare the names, like James Conner versus Ezekiel Elliott, like,
right.
You know, I think people like Zeke. So we talked about this on the Swolecast the other day where I think, was it Peter, you asked about this, like whether you think Zeke goes up or down. I definitely think it's up, but it is also, there's a small percentage of the time where like we do get that first preseason game or that first camp report and like Pollard is like working in with the ones or whatever. Like, I don't think that that's going to happen. I think that they're going to continue to do the Zeke is in the best shape of his life thing. And you know, we're going to get a lot of hype, but there is a scenario in which it's like, Pollard, this is 50-50 now with Pollard. And so, you know, that's like what, a 10% to 20% outcome, whereas the rest is Zeke really rising up around or so.
Yeah. I think you're like, feels insane to say, but it does feel like if you are wanting to get a little bit of Zeke now, well, the time to do it was in May when he was going in the fifth round. Right. Yeah. But if you want to get some, I do think probably doing it now before some of the more casual drafters get in the room. Breece Hall, running back 19, feels like a third round pick to me. Feels like the same rise that J.K. Dobbins and, how am I forgetting this guy's name? DeAndre Swift got as rookies, yeah. Right? Feels like the exact same thing where running with the ones, you know, he's clearly ahead of Michael Carter, X, Y, and Z. We get some positive news on the Jets in general. Feels like an easy riser.
Yeah, we haven't gotten any. Everybody hypes up all their players all offseason. Zeke's in the best shape of his life, right? Last year, Marquez Callaway was the second coming of Randy Moss for the New Orleans Saints. Like all this stupid shit happens over the course of the offseason. I remember this one I will just never forget. This might be the most useless player that I mentioned on more podcasts than ever. But you remember Colin Johnson is running with the ones with the Jaguars, and like, you know, Colin Johnson might be the Jaguars' number one wide receiver or whatever. He got cut, obviously, but we got the opposite for the Jets. Every camp report is like, Zach Wilson had another shitty practice, you know, Zach Wilson looks terrible or whatever. And it's like keeping everybody's price down, I feel like. And I think we'll get to a point where that's not going to be the case. And again, like you said, I kind of like Michael Carter in general as a real life football player, but you know, they don't spend that capital on Breece Hall, and they have a scheme that fits him and all that. And I think it's going to be the typical thing. Like you just said, every year, those rookies sit in like this fifth round or whatever. And then as the people get hyped on the new shiny toy, you know, later in draft season, they just move up. So kind of same thing as Zeke, very different circumstances, but kind of the same thing as Zeke. It's like, Cam Akers after, like, our memories of Cam Akers are like him, like, you know, limping around and fumbling and losing snaps to Daryl Henderson.
Right.
And we're going to get Breece Hall coming in like, oh, look at this hotshot young rookie. He's catching passes. The Jets are, you know, we're excited about the Jets. And so he moves up around and some of these other guys fall.
Yeah. All right. Probably the most interesting one, Russell Gage, right? So Russell Gage has seen a meteoric rise. Russell Gage was like a 10th round pick. Now he's a 6th round pick going ahead of Drake London, Hopkins, Michael Thomas. And the market is, you know, making a correct assumption that he's going to play a lot to begin the year. But what if we actually get the news that Chris Godwin is starting the season on the IR? I literally think he can get up to the fit. Like, I think he can get ahead of Amon-Ra St. Brown, ahead of where Godwin goes, ahead of Mooney. Probably right. Smith-Schuster is where I would draw the line. Like, wide receiver 20. I could see him getting up to wide receiver 27. That Russell Gage.
It's so insane. And so I just pulled up his ADP from I don't remember exactly what day Best Ball Mania launched, but the latest date we have on our charts is May 13th. I think that's right. Anyway, May 13th, Russell Gage, ADP 103 on Underdog. Today, 73. We've seen almost a 3-round rise in not even 2 months on Russell Gage. And you're absolutely right. I think the market is correct about kind of their assessment of the situation. And I've kind of liked him, you know, I've kind of like the circles that we run in. It's not really a beneficial thing for your brand to talk positively about Russell Gage. So right. I've kind of just been like, you know, hiding in the shadows and like drafting him a little bit, but I just can't see how he goes up anymore. Like, we're just in this debt. Even if I feel like it's baked in now that Godwin is going to be out into this cost, right, for an extended period of time. But again, there's a scenario where we get a positive Godwin report and it's like, oh no, Godwin, maybe he's going to be back by week 3 or something, and then Russell Gage just plummets. And so he might be the toughest one of this entire conversation that we have, because everybody loves to draft with week 1 in mind, right?
That's
the Zeke, the running back. Why are running backs so popular, like in the dead zone and stuff? Because of week 1, right? Why does Josh Jacobs go where he goes every year? Why did Mike Davis go in the 4th round last year? It's because everybody drafts with week 1 in mind, and he's like the wide receiver version of that. But on the other hand, it's Tom Brady. Like, he supported 5 weapons last year, Tom Brady did, you know, with Gronk and AB and everything. And so maybe he just kind of sits here, falls like, I don't know, 80, maybe 80th or something like that, falls a little bit because people kind of just can't, we can't possibly take Russell Gage in like the 5th round, can we? I don't know. He's very difficult for me to
buddy, assess. People took Mike Davis in the 4th round. They can take Russell Gage in the 5th round.
Right. You're right. Julio was on the run heaviest team in the league with AJ Brown as the wide receiver 1, and Julio went in like the 5th round at age 32 or whatever. So you're right, but it's, He's difficult. He's very difficult, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not taking him at that price.
I can't.
And I'm not taking him at the price he is there. Yeah, there's just some guys I'm just gonna be short on. Like, Joe Burrow is one of them. It's like, I can't take Joe Burrow over Russell Wilson, or honestly, even Trey Lance. My prediction is that he is going to end as the quarterback 5. He's gonna go ahead of Hurts. Maybe ahead of Murray in like the 55 to 65 overall range once he is initially announced as the starter.
I like that. I was just also just looking at the site-by-site ADP. Funny thing is, we're like scoffing at pick 73 for Russell Gage on Underdog, and it's obviously half point PPR. It's pick 67 on DraftKings.
Yeah.
67. And so it's just... he's just the guy that just fits. Everything fell together perfectly for him to rise. And I'm not sure that like from when he was going at pick 100, I don't really think anything has changed. Like, the story was still the same back then. It's just slowly the market got hip to this whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're likely correct. I mean, I just, you know, but Lance, like, everyone knows, like, the moment that Shanahan says Lance is our guy, or Jimmy Garoppolo is traded or cut or whatever, it seems untenable from like a like human perspective to have Jimmy and Lance on the same team again for another season. Like, it just feels like that is just really asking for trouble.
Yeah, I think so too. I think something's going to happen with Jimmy. The problem is they misread their hand. No one wants him, certainly not at any cost that, you know, given his salary and given just his level of play, nobody really was very interested in him. And they're out here talking about, we need a second round pick for this guy. Like, they're absolutely nuts. But my question about him is, I obviously, as you know, am not rational as it comes to Trey Lance. He's my highest owned quarterback on every site, basically. But do you think it's going to require Jimmy G to be traded in order for him to truly reach his peak ADP? Because if Jimmy is still on the roster, there will probably still be enough people that are just like, but he could get benched.
So if Shanahan just says Lance is starting week one or whatever, Lance is our guy, he'll rise. He'll get ahead of Brady and probably Russell Wilson, but not true rocket ships. But if Jimmy gets traded, it will be real rocket ships.
And you think he can pass like Burrow and Hurts, like you said? So they're in the 60s.
That's the line. I would say maybe Hurts. People just don't like Jalen Hurts for whatever reason. Even though I think probably his fantasy range of outcomes are pretty similar to Trey Lance, but and probably has better guys. I mean, AJ Brown and Devonta Smith and Dallas Goedert.
Pretty good.
It's like that's coin flipping between Ayuk, Debo, like the same. And Kittle.
They both have unreal situations. Yeah.
Yeah, and the Eagles probably want to even be a little bit more pass heavy than the 49ers do. But Burrow for sure. I mean, we've said this 100 times. It's like the Burrow ADP makes no sense. I think a lot of the times the season the Bengals can like even miss the playoffs and stuff, and just no one is accounting for this. Like, Joe Burrow is the new, you know, people are so fucking fickle. You know, it's like everyone wants to back Burrow and Herbert right now because Allen and Mahomes are old news. You know,
bad. Isn't that so stupid? Like, why are we backing the guy who like can top out at like 250 rushing yards or whatever and needs Jamar Chase to score? Like, I forgot. I don't know if it was Hayden or somebody. I always default to Hayden because he posts a lot of these really good kind of like expected fantasy numbers and stuff. But somebody posted like Jamar Chase exceeded his fantasy, his expected touchdowns by like 10 last year or something. Cause he just, you know, and he's probably,
I believe his average distance of touchdown, if I'm remembering correctly, was 32 yards. Like the median distance of his touchdowns. So
it's just so absurd. Like, Devontae Adams scores all his touchdowns like at the 2 yard line. Right. Like, and then a lot of guys do, you know, you throw the goal line fades. They're stupid. Like, it's a dumb thing, but it's real in football. But Jamar Chase is just catching jump balls and winning one-on-ones. And he's obviously like maybe the best wide receiver in the NFL. So he's going to do that. But like, you can't expect a bunch of 50 yard touchdowns to buoy your quarterback's scoring. Right. Jamar Chase can earn some of that. But, you know, sometimes he's going to get tackled at the one and then Joe Mixon's going to score. Or sometimes, you know, it's going to be pass interference. Like, you just can't rely on throwing up jump balls to wide receivers all year for your quarterback. And so, we've talked about it a million times. We don't need to keep talking about it, but I don't get the Burrow thing other than in these tournaments, like with like underdog with the playoff format and stuff, where you just don't want to be out on that high octane offense. You know what I mean? I don't want to.
Yeah. Like, I don't really want to take Burrow very much in like drafters and like the cumulative scoring. I think now, but you can't, I think it would be bad to get to the playoffs to have and be like, I got no Burrow. Right. You know, like I think it's bad. How low can Treylon Burks go? I think Burks, assuming that he either doesn't play in the preseason or doesn't play well in the preseason, I think he can get below Robert Woods. So I think Woods can, it's also assuming that Woods plays in the preseason and is not on the PUP or on the IR or anything. So Woods is wide receiver 49, 101 overall. Burks right now is the wide receiver 42, 87th overall. But that is, he has been, you know, if you pull up the draft IQ tools, it's been nothing but a downward slide for Treylon Burks. And I don't really foresee us getting a blurb or a news report that shifts him the other way. I think he would have to, I think the Titans would have to come out and be like, we're not at all worried about this asthma. He's playing in all the preseason games. Yeah. Which I don't think is going to happen.
You are not kidding. If you put the Russell Gage and the Treylon Burks ADP graphs right next to each other, they are literally the exact opposite. One,
yeah.
Burks going from pick 70 all the way. I mean, on DraftKings, he's down in the hundreds, 111 as of today, and started a little lower, 80 from. So he's fallen 30 picks on DraftKings, and Gage has risen 30 picks. They've basically done a swap between the two, which is really funny when you think about it, because like normally it's the young guy that rises.
I know it's in reverse, in very Titans fashion. It's the old guy being preferred over the young guy.
Well, that's what I was going to say is I just can't see a scenario in which, I mean, I guess, again, if we're putting like, you know, probabilities, ranges of outcomes, there's a 20% chance or whatever that he is running with the ones when we get to camp and, you know, we get the CeeDee Lamb-esque, you know, highlight reel catches posted to Twitter or whatever.
Right.
But like that was like with the Cowboys, and like this team's GM just came out and basically said anyone that thinks about analytics is a moron. And like, we just draft good football players, and we throw the tape on the TV, and we just draft the good football players. Like, this guy is not thinking in the same way that most of us are about the game. He certainly is not going to care about if Treylon Burks, like, honestly, he's probably like offended by the fact that Treylon Burks has asthma. He's like, real football players don't have asthma.
Yeah. He's like, real men don't have asthma, bro.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, it's really hard to find a scenario. I'm already, and I think the market is down on the Titans, sans AJ Brown, and with Derrick Henry getting older, nobody really liked Tannehill in the first place. Robert Woods is, you know, not a sexy name and coming off an injury. So I just think there's just a lot of stink everywhere all around this entire situation that I don't know. Like I said, there's like a 20% chance, I guess, he just comes out and we get some highlights, but there's also like a huge chance that like we get to preseason game one and he's running with the twos or threes, you know, and then it gets even worse than this.
Yeah. Yeah. Rashad Penny. I could see Rashad Penny maybe being the single biggest riser with a confluence of two things. So the first thing being them trading for an actual NFL quarterback could be, could be Baker Mayfield, could be Jimmy Garoppolo, Andy Dalton. I mean, just like, seriously, like just any NFL quality quarterback. And then Pete Carroll just coming out, and we've already seen it a little bit. So Walker has come down a little bit. He was running back 28. He's running back 30 now. And Penny was running back 38. He was going behind Cook, behind Edmonds. And now he is up at running back 35. I think Penny could get all the way up to the Miles Sanders, AJ Dillon, Antonio Gibson, Josh Jacobs set. And I am like absolutely getting him. I'm absolutely drafting as much of him right now as I can, because I am expecting Seattle to add a quarterback, and I'm expecting Penny to at least start the year as the lead running back on a team that wants to run the piss out of the ball.
Yeah. I was very curious as you were talking it through, because I'm pretty in on Penny, and I do have 13% Penny at about pick 125. on average. So that's been, his situation has been pretty good. So clearly you see that I'm interested in it. And I just don't foresee a scenario where they don't get one of these quarterbacks. Maybe I'm ignorant, you know, and the Seahawks are just, we just talked about the Titans being, you know, this kind of crazy.
I mean, every day that passes, the amount of money the Browns are willing to eat on Baker Mayfield is going to increase, because game this out. You don't trade Baker Mayfield. You don't cut Baker Mayfield. Deshaun Watson is suspended indefinitely by the NFL, and you have ruined the relationship with Baker so much that he's sitting on the sidelines in sweats, and Jacoby Brissett and Nick Mullins are your quarterbacks. Like that, from an org, just from like a fan relationship perspective, that is untenable. You cannot use Jacoby Brissett over Baker Mayfield when you're paying Baker. What is it? His option is $16.5 million, I think. Mm-hmm. You can't pay Baker $16.5 million to sit on the sideline when Jacoby Brissett is your quarterback.
Think about how crazy the whole Browns thing. Obviously, we don't need to get into Deshaun Watson. And so maybe they clearly just don't care about optics at all. I mean,
I think they do. I think that was the move. I think they had a meeting and they were like, we can get Deshaun Watson, not because he wants to come here, but because we can be the only team that will fully guarantee his salary. Cause that's what the reporting was. The reporting was all these other teams, the Falcons, the Panthers, there was another team that I'm forgetting, And they were all willing to make him offers contingent upon not being suspended. And the Browns said, buddy, we will just give you your money when you're ready to play.
And we'll structure your salary, your contract in such a way that if
you can be suspended and still get paid.
Yeah, you're not going to lose anything. We're going to gift you hundreds of millions of dollars.
That's clearly why he chose the Browns. That's clearly why this happened.
100%. And so just, you know, forgive me if I don't trust that organization, but it would be just kind of a totally insane thing to happen if former number one overall pick quarterback who you've now run out of town, even though, you know, I'm not the world's biggest Baker fan. I don't think anybody really is, other than pretty good on commercials. So maybe he has a career in that after football's over, but he's like fine. I don't know. A little below average NFL quarterback or something.
Baker Mayfield, 2020 Baker Mayfield, 26 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, 7.7 YPA. He was good. They won a road playoff game. How many Browns quarterbacks have won a road playoff game? I mean, honestly, I would guess no one has done it in this iteration of the Browns other than Baker. He has to be the only one.
And so, and again, this is a number one overall pick and was kind of the face of the franchise, whether they kind of chose that or not. Maybe it's just he's a good personality. Having, like you said, having him sitting on the sideline watching Jacoby Brissett and Nick Mullins quarterback this team while also having this Deshaun Watson situation going on and having a Super Bowl caliber roster. Like, that's the other thing is, like, this isn't like the Texans where it's like, whatever. You know, we don't really care. We'll figure
this thing
out. Yeah,
they have a lot of good players.
They're really good. I mean, they just traded. You also don't trade for Amari Cooper if you're not like trying to win.
How good does that deal look, by the way? How good is the compared to what Christian Kirk and AJ Brown, like these guys were costing first round picks and $150 million to secure.
Yeah.
And they got Amari Cooper for a fourth and a fifth. And he's making less than Christian
nothing.
Kirk.
Nothing. Yeah.
The Cowboys definitely misread the market. Like looking back on it, the Cowboys definitely misread the market and are fucking themselves and running into the season with James Washington as a starting wide receiver. Like they classic Cowboys just leveling themselves.
Definitely classic Cowboys. But I think just with going back to Rashad Penny, it's hard for me to imagine Baker or Jimmy or something. Like it's not going to be Drew Lock. Sorry to our buddy Chris Spags. Not going to be Drew Lock. I think it's going to be Geno if it stays how it is right now. But it's hard for me to imagine it's not like Baker or something like that. In which case, like, I don't know, a Baker Mayfield offense with DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett and Rashad Penny and Ken Walker, like, I think it seems, and Noah Fant, I think it seems like a totally fine offense. We know they're going to run the shit out of the ball. And yes, they drafted Kenneth Walker, but Rashad Penny's like really, like already really good. Like,
and they
really
don't, they don't care. They don't care at all about what they're paying guys, where they drafted guys. I mean, this
Penny's
is this,
proof of that. Penny's literally proof of that.
Chris Carson started over Rashad Penny his whole career. And he was, I can't remember if he was seventh round or undrafted, but yeah. I mean, that's just
and
what
Penny
they
was
do.
A first round pick. Penny was a first round pick.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't care. They don't care at all. They're just, that is like Pete Carroll's whole bit is like, I'm just playing the guys who are the best in practice basically.
So you think if he gets he's actually a really, really interesting one, especially for the way that I draft, you know, kind of more zero and hero RB-esque.
I would bet right now, September 1st, Penny is going ahead of Walker in Best Ball Mania. I would bet, like, strong on that.
What did we say his ADP is right now?
Right now, Penny is running back 35, 106.
So maybe like in the 80s, upper 80s.
I think Singletary will be a big riser as well, because it's from the Bills, it's all been Singletary's our guy. We still trust him. And James Cook does not profile as a guy who's going to play more of the snaps. James Cook profiles as like what they wanted JD McKissick to do.
Right. And that's an issue for Singletary, like not going in the fourth round.
Yeah.
Like,
that's right? An issue, like, for him not playing 100% of the snaps like he did in the Chiefs game, but not playing 65% of the snaps and having goal line work still
on the Bills. Like
on the Bills.
We want that, right? We're drafting. I mean, we're, I'm looking at this ADP where AJ Dillon is going 70th overall he's not going to catch, you know, he's not going to catch many passes on the Packers, who I don't know. They don't,
they might, like just, they might just run. Offense. They might just run the ball 450 times though.
Right. Antonio Gibson. Lord knows I love Antonio Gibson's
right
talent. JD McKissick is going to catch the passes, and Brian Robinson might steal the goal line work. We're taking Antonio Gibson at pick 69. So what's the difference between those guys? I mean, CEH is still going, you know, in the 70s. What's the difference between those guys and Penny and Singletary and those? I don't know. I keep drafting those guys. Singletary, Penny. I'm trying to just scroll. We can do Ramondre next, because he was the next guy that came.
Yeah, Ramondre and Damian Harrison are also going to flip. I don't know when. I don't know what the impetus is going to be. I don't know if it'll be a report. I don't know if it'll be a preseason game. I don't know if Damian Harris will get injured. I don't know if they're going to cut James White, which will obviously improve Ramondre's value. I don't know if they'll trade James White or trade Damian Harris. The Patriots beat writers have been saying that the Patriots would be open to trading one of their veteran running backs, so they don't have to give them a second contract. But I just feel extremely confident in this, that Ramondre is going to be a top 100 pick and going ahead of Damian Harris at some point.
Yeah, it's already started to move that way. And so it's one of those where any report at all is just going to, people are going to go nuts, because people have already kind of started to lean this way, out on Damian Harris and in on Ramondre. And so he has multiple outs, right? Like you said, Damian Harris could get traded. Ramondre could just be running. I mean, it's also just feasible that he just runs with the ones. He's just the best back in the backfield. James White could get traded. There's just so many outs to him. You know, even just a simple report when your play callers are Matt Patricia and what's the other guy's name?
Joe Judge.
Now that Joe Judge, you know, two of the dustiest.
Yeah, it's in
the
problem.
Dirt. Yeah, but you know, a report could easily come out where they're like, oh yeah, Ramondre is the man, we need to draft him or whatever. And so I've been smashing him too. Maybe we're just talking about the guys that I've been mostly taking that I think are going to rise, I guess.
I mean, obviously in this range, we're taking guys that we expect to go, like,
yeah.
I mean,
are you,
I guess,
focusing
we
on that a lot? Are you focusing on that? Like these guys, Penny, Ramondre, where you like them obviously, and that's why you think that they're going to rise, but also like,
but
is
just
there
trying
anybody
to get good prices? Not as much as like I guarantee, like when Leone's drafting these, Leone is going through like, oh, I bet Chase Edmonds is going to go way higher, so I need to be drafting him now. And then there are some guys I'm trying not to draft now because I know that they're going to fall. So like Michael Gallup, like they're going to announce him on the PUP kind of any day. He's going to go down. I mean, Godwin is a great example of a guy who is like, if you like Godwin, drafting him now is terrible because he's going to be an eighth round pick at some point. I do think, depending on preseason reports, we'll see movement on Fields, Tua, Lawrence, Daniel Jones, just Zach Wilson, just some of these back could be Mac Jones, like Tannehill. I don't know which ones, and I don't know what's going to lead there, but quarterback ADP in the, like in a pick 100 to pick 200 is super sensitive to this guy looks good in training camp, this guy looks bad in training camp, et cetera, et cetera. My guess is we see some steam on Lawrence when he plays well in a preseason game, because people just like Trevor Lawrence.
It happened. It happened last year. Also with like Visca. Visca had that one really good preseason performance, and Lawrence was kind of tied to that. Obviously, it's also funny. It was just, you mentioned the Godwin thing, and it made me kind of just like think about how many teams have done these kinds of things, like draft these guys at really truly horrible prices. Because like I think I have zero Godwin across all sites, maybe an auto draft or something like that here. But so there's been more than 100.
I was taking him a little bit early because I hadn't done the napkin math on how long the ACL injury would take. So that's on me.
But isn't it funny? So like there's been, just in Best Ball Mania 3, there's been even more drafted on DraftKings. And then when you add in drafters or whatever, you know, but just in Best Ball Mania 3, it's been 100,000 plus drafts basically, or entries. And so that's, you know, 8,333 drafts or whatever have drafters have taken Chris Godwin, you know, in the fourth round or fifth round or whatever. Right. And it's like, if you just waited, he's going to go, he's going to get announced on the PUP. And if you still want him, you're going to get him in the seventh, eighth round or whatever. And it was, so it's just like a funny, like you said, when you just do that super quick thought experiment on like, actually, I'm pretty sure he's going to miss. So I can just wait if I still want him, and I might want him. But I can just wait a little bit.
I mean, that's the profile of guy you'd like to have in this tournament, because his advance rate should be kind of low, but his ceiling in weeks 15, 16, 17 is going to be very high.
Yeah, I mean, he's a second round pick, give or take, that you're going to get.
I think late. Had he not torn his ACL, he'd be going ahead of Evans.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He would. He's a total smash, and so we just have to figure out that type of thing. But while they're talking the rising and falling, he's definitely a guy that's going to fall, but he's one of these guys that's going to fall where like I'm going to be actively looking for a spot to pounce on him because of exactly what you said. Like, dude, you get him back after like, let's just say week six or something like that, and you get the Bucks wide receiver one with like a weekly ceiling of like 35, 40 fantasy points every single week in the eighth or ninth round or something. Like, that's when I'm going to want to pounce on him.
Yeah. All right. Let's close it out with this. What is your guess right now for a guy who is like close to a last round pick, 17th, 18th round, doesn't even get drafted every single time, who ends up with a, let's say 100-ish ADP, just a meteoric Ooh. Rise, you know, a Darrell Williams, like Darrell Williams, perfect example, like a guy who's undrafted, who's now I think running back 49. What's your guess there?
So I got two.
And the problem with this is it's informed by injury. Like they're right. So that's hard to guess. That.
Let's yeah. No injuries. No injuries included. And I have two. The very first one that jumped to my mind. And again, we talked about this on the Swolecast the other day, that this is the situation that I've been trying to draft just about as much as possible right now. I'm not drafting. I've drafted a lot of teams already. I have a little drafter's fatigue, I think. But when I'm drafting right now, I'm trying to think about exactly these situations where it's like, if this one thing happens, this guy's going to get crazy steamed up, and it is back to the Browns. But they're running backs. So obviously yeah. Kareem Hunt already goes
Kareem
there.
Hunt and D'Ernest Johnson.
D'Ernest, both. Right. And yeah. So in this it's this last round pick, D'Ernest Johnson has an ADP on Underdog of 212. Right. And so that's exactly about where he doesn't always get picked, but he's an 18th round pick. And we know this dude can ball. He's a good football player. So I don't have any questions about that. But I also don't see a scenario in which both Kareem Hunt and D'Ernest Johnson remain on the Browns. And so it's like either he gets shipped out. My favorite one, I think right now, just that I've been thinking about is Kamara gets suspended and one of these guys gets traded to the Saints. And now you're getting just like whether it's D'Ernest traded or Hunt traded to the Saints, you're getting like an absolute smash for the guy that goes to the Saints. But then you're also getting like one of the best, you know, 1B/ handcuff running back. Like what's the real difference between like AJ Dillon and D'Ernest Johnson if other than I guess the offense, but you know, he could just absolutely go from 212 to, you know, a ninth round pick if that happens. And the only other one, which I forget who mentioned this that I thought was really interesting, the Raiders, you know, did not pick up the fifth year option for Josh Jacobs, and yeah. they have a new coaching staff in place, and then they drafted Zamir White. And it's like, what if we just get the camp reports and Zamir White is the starting running back? Like Josh Jacobs
I think Kenyon Drake is the way to play that, because Zamir White is not a pass catcher at all.
No.
And so they signed Brandon Bolden, who is going to be 32 now, which it maybe at least indicates that they want to have a different third down back. But Drake, mm-hmm. I mean, even though Drake has been largely disappointing since leaving Miami, and honestly, even in Miami, like he's got to be better than Brandon Bolden.
I hope so. That would be really bad for his career if he's not better.
Kenyon Drake fits the mold of like the Patriots style offense of like having a guy who can do a little like Rex Burkhead in the McDaniels offense is kind of Shane Vereen, Kevin Falk type guy.
And who was the small little running back that Brady had for a couple of years? They brought in from the Patriot Deion Lewis
was a fantasy stud.
Yeah, he was amazing, and I think Kenyon Drake could be similar to that. But my thought on Zamir White was like, it would be the opposite. He would not be that guy. He would be who's the LeGarrette Blount
Yeah.
And then, but Josh Jacobs, they'd be like, look, your best thing is kind of catching passes. That's actually what he did best at Alabama. And maybe he's like, let's just use you in the pass catching role. And let's use Zamir White in the LeGarrette Blount role on a pretty good offense. In which case, you know, same thing. Why is he going in the last round as opposed to the ninth round or whatever? So same idea, basically.
So I have one weird answer at running back, which is Trey Sermon. Like,
I can't take him.
Because I'm all loaded up on Tyrion Davis Price, and I don't think I want to middle that bet. I will middle that bet if it gets there. But if Trey Sermon comes in and is playing in the first preseason game with the starters, and Kyle Shanahan is bigging him up, and I forget the name of their some of their other offensive coaches. They have a running backs coach who talks to the media sometimes. But if the beats are saying he's ahead of Tyrion Davis Price, you know. I mean, one, that's terrible for me, but I can see it. And then Snoop Connor for the Jaguars is kind of the same thing, where if it gets to be August 15th and we haven't seen James Robinson at practice, like, I don't think anyone thinks ETN is ready to handle 250 carries in an NFL season. And Snoop Connor was a fifth round pick, but you know, it's like James Robinson was undrafted. Right. So it doesn't matter. Right. So he is one of them. And then my wide receiver one is Pringle. Cause he's good. And I'm kind of predisposed to, and the field that's drafting at BBM is kind of predisposed to guys like Fields anyways, as well. Hayden has done good research on this, showing like zero RB drafters draft the same. I was talking about this with Kyle last week, like draft the same types of players. The robust RB drafters draft the same type of players. So the Fields guys are, and I would expect that Pringle is just going to look good at all. You know, he's just going to look good in preseason. He's going to look good in training camp. He has no one putting pressure on his job at all.
No.
Daz Newsome, Velus Jones, no pressure.
No.
Yeah.
This is a sad admission, but I have so much of the Bears, and it screams partially of the Bears last year, but it screams of like my Jaguars exposure last year, where it was like, I don't know, this whole offense is really cheap, right? Byron Pringle, I can get the wide receiver two, who I think is pretty decent in the 17th round. I can get this rookie, you know, third round pick in the 18th round. Justin Fields is a running quarterback, you know, and he's cheap or whatever. And then we fast forward to week 10 and the Bears are the lowest scoring offense in the NFL and just a total dumpster fire. And I'm like, what the fuck was I doing drafting all of these Bears? Like Khalil Herbert is getting passed by Trestan Ebner or whatever at running back. And you're just like, that was a horrible, horrible decision. My wide receiver, I'm glad you made me look through this, is Isaiah McKenzie.
Yeah, I almost feel like he's too obvious of an answer. Yeah. Where it's like he's gonna be splitting slot snaps with Jameson Crowder.
He's just the starting slot receiver. Like, why is Jameson Crowder preventing Isaiah McKenzie from being the starting? Like, who cares about Jameson Crowder?
So Jameson Crowder is on a 1-year $4 million deal, and I believe he is 29. Isaiah McKenzie is a 2-year $4.5 million deal. So it's like effectively the same thing. It's like they're paying him the same amount of money. It's like you see this in the NBA, where actually giving the guy the second year means you like him more than giving him more money for 1 year, because you see like Lonnie Walker with the Lakers, great example of this, where like they gave him the 1 year deal just because they need a guy who plays his position, but they don't like think he's great. Whereas they gave Damian Jones the 2 year deal because they think he might actually be able to develop into a guy that they can use. So I kind of wonder if I wonder if they like McKenzie more than Crowder, honestly.
I think that we've just been so predisposed to Jameson Crowder being a starting NFL wide receiver for such a long period of time that it's we just go in and say, oh, well, of course they signed this guy who's been the starting slot receiver for the Jets and been productive. When like Isaiah McKenzie was held back by Cole Beasley last year, and Cole Beasley finally kind of turned to dust, but he'd been really good, like really good. There's a reason why Isaiah McKenzie wasn't playing, and it was because they have Stephon Diggs and Cole Beasley and Gabe Davis and Manny Sanders and John Brown, like really good football players in front of him. Jameson Crowder had
Braxton Berrios and like Vincent Smith and like, you know, so I don't hate
Jameson Crowder is entering into year eight and has never had a 1,000-yard season, and his best ever season came with Kirk Cousins when every other Washington football team wide receiver was dead.
I think that was the first I ever made.
That was the Jordan Reed year where Jordan Reed was amazing and then got injured, obviously.
This was back when the Sunday night game was on the main slate.
Yeah.
And I made my first King of the Beach, I think, what was that, like 2015 or something like that, give or take. Anyway, that's not important. But I also just pulled up the Jameson Crowder contract. According to – this is if you just Google it. But according to Spotrac, the Buffalo Bills and Jameson Crowder agreed to a one-year deal worth $2 million, but it only has a base salary of $1.1 million. So, like, he's making nothing. You know,
it's all incentives based. Yeah,
exactly. So he's not even making anything, but he just has this name where we've always been interested in Jameson Crowder and we never really have in Isaiah McKenzie. And I think Isaiah McKenzie could just be that much better than I mean, he was pretty good for the Bills last year, especially down the stretch and when Cole Beasley was hurt. I think he's one of the guys that I'm trying to rectify where I was like, how did I miss this, you know, in May or whatever? Like you said, with Godwin, I just kind of didn't do the math and didn't play this out probably like I should have and project it how I think I should have. And now I'm like, I really think I need to get a lot more McKenzie, like a lot more.
Yeah. Yep. I'm with you. All right, dude, let's get out of here. Let's go enjoy our day. Tell people why they should sign up for the new tools over on Spike Week with Draft IQ.
Yeah, pretty excited for every. We're continuing to build on our main tools called Draft IQ. You can see everything about your entire best ball portfolio and not just for Underdog. I think the easiest sell is like, if you want to see what your exposures are on DraftKings, you can do that in like two clicks in this tool. Like I was tweeting about
that's
it.
That's amazing.
You can see everything you can see in our tools with Underdog or with Drafters. You can see it with DraftKings too. Combinations of players. That's something within the last week. Like you can go and search. I was searching this morning. Like I want to see my Trey Lance and MVS teams because those are like two guys I'm really, really in on. Like now I'll go search like Isaiah McKenzie and whatever, Tyrion Davis Price, but you can search for combinations of players and then you can see what stacks you have with them. You can see your week 17 stacks. You can see just like kind of anything and everything. I was talking earlier about seeing my average ADP on a player, right? So we didn't actually talk about Gabe Davis, but he's a player I took a big stand on early. And so like I have all my average ADP on Gabe Davis is really, really low. You can see that really easily in the tool, but now I know, like, I don't have to draft Gabe Davis anymore if I don't want to at the new cost. And so we're continuing to build on that thing. And it's really just a tool, like I said, that allows you to see anything and everything you want to see about your entire best ball portfolio. Like all we can really see right now on the sites is just like, what percentage do I have of this player? But like, I have 45% Trey Lance on DraftKings and I go and I look and I'm like, I actually only have like four stacks of the week 17 game with the Raiders. Cause I just didn't end up with Renfrow or Devontae or whatever on those Trey Lance teams. And if I don't know that, I don't know when I should stop drafting or start drafting other players. And so I'm just trying to give a look. Honestly, I'm just building it for myself, just building it for the things that I want to see. And I think it's really, really beneficial for everybody. So that's the big thing I would push Draft IQ on Spike Week. It's only $25 a month. And we're going to continue to add more and more tools, some in-season tools. So you can actually like sweat your teams a little bit better than the current formats, all sorts of fun stuff that we're working on.
Yep. Love to see it. All right, boys, we're getting out of here. Happy 4th. We will we'll be back later in the week.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.